Good morning. Hey, today we're going to complete our series on life change. And again, as you've seen from this video each week, that life change is so much more than just a church name. It's what happens when we experience Jesus. And life change is all about that growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Life change is all about that growing relationship with God. And this is why we exist as a church. That's why we started this church. Our whole entire purpose of our church is to love people to life change. And we believe that's through a process of connect, grow, give, and replicate. And again, this process isn't a step-by-step process, but it's something that can be interwoven together. Where we believe if we are connecting with God, if we're growing with God, if we're giving, if we're replicating, then we're experiencing life change. We believe that we can connect with God through our Sunday morning services. And we actually do have a goal. Our goal of Sunday morning service is this, is to connect with other people and to connect with God in a relevant arena. And 3 weeks ago, we talked about this connection with God. And we learned that without connection, there is no life. And that connection must be personal. That connection must be constant. And that connection is noticeable. And then we talked about growth. And growing with God. And we learn that growth happens through relationships, both with God and with others. And that discovering God is seldom something we do on our own in total isolation from other people. But growth happens through these relationships. And growth actually happens through practice, putting into practice what we know and what we've learned, applying the scriptures to our life. And that growth is a process that must be intentional. And the Life Change Church, we believe that we can grow, and we've put these things into the church where we can grow through our life groups, which again, these groups are starting October 20th. If you haven't signed up yet, please do so. You can sign up through the website, or there's a handout that you should have received when you came in here as well. You can sign up for these life groups through those either way. But we believe that we grow closer to God when we grow with others in relationships that are leading towards God, and that's what life groups are. They're just those intentional areas where we can be intentional about building relationships in our life. And then again, we believe that we grow through prayer. So each fourth Sunday of every month, we have prayer here at the church from 6 to 7 p.m. So I want to encourage you to schedule that on your calendars to come out there too. But not only just pray obviously once a month, but pray daily. So because we believe growing happens through our personal disciplines, our personal and private disciplines that we do each day. And we believe that when we're experiencing growth, we're experiencing life change. And then the other one, too, is giving. We give both through just of our time, through serving opportunities. So we believe when we're serving, we're following what Jesus did. We're serving to help others experience life change. And because we're following what Jesus did, we're experiencing life change as well. And then we also believe by giving financially, by trusting God with a portion of our finances and giving that portion to Him first. And last week we talked more in depth about giving. And we learned that it's faith when it's given first. And that we need to manage our finances and our time with an open hand. And because we are designed in God's image, we are the happiest and most fulfilled when we are giving and serving. And today we're going to dig into this fourth portion of it, which is replicate. And replicate is this, it's that leadership development. It's where we're taking somebody to the level we are at, and we're reaching out to somebody that's at a higher level so they can take us where they're at. Replication is this, it's that relational experience where one person empowers another by sharing God-given resources. And if you look throughout the Bible, this is demonstrated throughout the entire Bible. In the Old Testament, it's demonstrated through Eli pouring into Samuel, through Elijah, passing on the baton to Elisha, as through Moses, training and releasing Joshua. But today we're actually going to spend some time on a New Testament story, and a story about Saul and Paul. And this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. But if you look at this, just before we start this whole story, just so everybody's on the same page, Saul and Paul are actually the same person. So if I say Paul, it's the same person as Saul. If I'm saying Saul, it's the same person as Paul. It just happened to be before Paul had an experience with Jesus, he was often known as Saul, under that name when he was more under the Jewish and the Pharisee leader type thing. So let's look at this. Again, the quick background on Paul. Paul wrote the most books in the New Testament. He's actually credited for starting numerous churches and spreading the news of Jesus throughout many, many places. But see, Paul's also credited for killing and persecuting Christians. Because before Paul had an experience with Jesus, he was a highly educated Jewish leader who was in direct opposition to the followers of Jesus. He was in direct opposition to what Jesus stood for. So here's Saul, and Saul's actually the son of a Pharisee. And the Pharisees, again, you know, those are the people who were completely against Jesus. They're the ones that didn't like Jesus, the ones that stood against Jesus' ministry and everything he said. They're the ones trying to fault Jesus and to catch him in something. In fact, they're the ones that actually credited to who were responsible for crucifying Jesus and rallying the crowds around here to make Jesus that. So here's Saul. He's actually the son of a Pharisee. He was actually brought up in that Orthodox Judaism, and he was brought up to be a Pharisee. In fact, Saul was an excellent scholar. He was a superior student. And with his upbringing in that, he was on the fast track to being a highly regarded leader among the Pharisees. But in Acts chapter 9, Saul had an experience with Jesus. So we're not going to read through all of Acts chapter 9. I'm going to summarize a lot of it, but this is a great story. If you would, maybe throughout this week, take some time and just read Acts chapter 9 and read this story. But I'll summarize a little bit for you here. See, Paul is actually walking to the road to Damascus, and his whole purpose was to take the followers of Christ prisoners. His whole purpose in going to Damascus was actually to persecute followers of Christ. So here he is. He's walking down this road, and then what happens? Boom. He gets hit by this completely bright light that blinds him and knocks him to his feet, knocks him right off his feet, right to the ground. I'm talking a light that's super, super bright, like brighter than those lights that you would burn with a Bunsen burner, brighter than the magnesium sticks that you would burn with a Bunsen burner. I like to play with fire in high school, but I just remember those. But this light's even brighter than that. It's so bright that it completely blinds him, knocks him on his rear end. And then Jesus begins to talk to him. And Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" So here's Saul, knocked down on his butt, completely blind, panicking, thinking, "You know what? I have no clue who you are, but I'll tell you what, I'm not going to persecute you anymore." So here's Saul kind of in that panic mode. He's like, "Who are you? Like, what did you do to me? Who are you?" So Jesus explains and says, "I'm Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting." And then Jesus continues to explain a little bit more and then tells Saul to go into the city, to go in Damascus and find a guy named Ananias. But here's the crazy thing about this. See, Saul's still completely blind, right? Jesus shows up, completely blinds him, but he just says, "You know what? Get up and go to Damascus completely blind." So here's Saul. Obviously, he had some people traveling with him. So he has to have the people that were his traveling with him take him all the way into the city of Damascus. And he's supposed to go see this guy named Ananias. Now, meanwhile, Jesus also talked to Ananias in a vision. And Ananias was a follower of Jesus, obviously. And so Jesus tells him that, "Hey, Saul's going to be coming here. And what you're going to do is you're going to lay hands on his eyes and he's going to be healed and he's going to see again." Now, obviously, Ananias is thinking, "Man, this is the same Saul that like comes after Christians, right?" Like, Ananias is a follower of Jesus in Damascus. It's one of the reasons why Saul is going to Damascus is to take prisoners like Ananias, take him prisoner because he's a follower of Jesus. So Ananias is probably freaking out here, like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, listen, listen. I know anytime Saul comes to the city, man, we're supposed to run. Like, that's not how he rolls. He usually comes after us." But here's Jesus telling him to lay hands on him and to heal him so he can see again. So Ananias is probably a little couple doubts in his head, but he does exactly what Jesus told him to. And he lays hands on Paul. He lays hands on Saul, Paul, and Paul's able to see again. So here we go. What happens next? Paul gets baptized, he eats some food, he hangs out with some of the followers of Jesus in Damascus, and then immediately he goes out and preaches in the synagogues of Damascus. Now in Damascus, Saul was preaching, and he's very highly educated, so when he's preaching, he preached with authority, he preached in ways where people could understand, so many people came to become a follower of Christ through this. So the Jews in Damascus heard of this, and it kind of upset them a little bit. So they got a little mad, And they plan to kill Saul. So here's Saul. He's in Damascus preaching the word. And then these Jews who used to be part of him are now trying to kill him. So he figures, you know what? It's probably a good time for me to leave. So they all end up leaving. He goes to Jerusalem. And this is where Paul meets his mentor, Barnabas. This is where Paul meets the person that takes some time and practices replication in his life. And it's going to pick up in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 31. If you have your Bibles, go with me there. Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 31. And it says this. In verse 26, it says, "When Saul went to Jerusalem, he tried to join the group of followers, but they were afraid of him. They did not believe he was really a follower. But Barnabas accepted Saul and took him to the apostles. Barnabas explained to them that Saul had seen the Lord on the road, and the Lord had spoken to Saul. Then he told them how boldly Saul had preached in the name of Jesus in Damascus. And Saul stayed with the followers, going everywhere in Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He would often talk and argue with the Jewish people who spoke Greek, but they were trying to kill him. When the followers learned about this, they took Saul to Caesarea, and from there they sent him to Tarsus. The church everywhere in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had a time of peace and became stronger, respecting the Lord by the way they lived and being encouraged by the Holy Spirit. The group of believers continued to grow." Now look at this passage of Scripture. Here's Saul. He's coming into the church. And the early church was a little rough. If you look at it, some of you guys are probably here today and have experienced church, experienced some pain and experienced some hurt in church. But if you look back at the early church, what happens when people get upset? They straight try to kill you and they run you out of the city. So here's Saul. He's coming into this new church. And again, he wrote most of the books in the New Testament. Again, he's credited for starting numerous churches and spreading the news of Jesus to so many different places. But if you look at it, this would have never happened without Barnabas. And again, Barnabas has accepted him. Barnabas kind of took him in when everybody else was kind of against him, when everybody else even wanted to kill him. Barnabas kind of accepted him in. And Barnabas was an early convert to Christianity. In fact, Barnabas helped the early church by selling some of his personal land, some of his personal property, so that the proceeds could be used to help the early church. And Barnabas is actually credited to being one of the main leaders in the early church. And what did Barnabas do with Paul? He took a chance on him. He accepted him. Because he knew that in order to replicate, we need to accept others. In order to replicate ourselves, we need to accept others. See, we must be willing to trust and build up others, even if they're not exactly like us. If you look again at this passage of Scripture, it states that all were afraid of him. All were afraid of Paul, except Barnabas. Barnabas took that chance on him. In fact, Barnabas even sought after Paul so that he could continue to help him develop. The story continues in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. If you would turn with me there. And again, this passage just further describes the relationship of Paul and Barnabas. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. It says, "Many of the believers were scattered when they were persecuted after Stephen was killed. Some of them went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message to others, but only to the Jews." If you look at this, it says some of them would only tell them to the Jews, so they never really went fully outside of their comfort zone. They believed that this message was really only for their inner circle, right? I think some of us can kind of see that happen today, or maybe even been a part of that, and kind of see how this is an easy thing. But they never went outside their comfort zone. So some of these believers were people from Cyprus and Cyrene. But when they came to Antioch, they spoke also to the Greeks, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. So when they got to Antioch, this church went above and beyond, right? It went even further than just keeping inside that circle. In verse 21, it continues, it says, "The Lord was helping the believers, and a large group of the people believed and turned to the Lord. The church in Jerusalem heard about all this, so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. When he reached Antioch, he saw how God had blessed his people, and he was glad. He encouraged all the believers in Antioch always to obey the Lord with all their hearts. And many people became followers of the Lord. So then Barnabas went to the city of Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found Saul, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, Saul and Barnabas met with the church and taught many people there. And Antioch, the followers were called Christians for the first time. So let's dig into this. Let's dig into this whole story about Saul and Paul. If you look back, in order for Paul to be replicated, Paul first had to have an experience with Jesus. He first had to encounter what life is truly about. See, we are all created to have a relationship with God. It's how we were designed. That's why Jesus came on this earth in the first place. See, when God created man, he created man in his image so he could have a relationship with them. So Adam and Eve were on the earth, had a relationship and walked with God, and then sin separated them from God. But that didn't stop that desire for that relationship to be there. God still desired to have a relationship with man. And we still were created to have a relationship with God. So God sent his son to live a perfect life. God sent Jesus to live a perfect life, to die on a cross for us and to be raised again from the dead so that we could have a relationship with him. It's what life is really all about. And it's what we need to grasp, that life is bigger than us. Life goes beyond just our daily routines. It goes beyond just the people we hang around with. It goes beyond just our families even. So when we experience Jesus, when we experience Jesus in our lives, it goes beyond just us. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19, it says, "Go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." This passage of scripture is Jesus talking, and it's what's known as the Great Commission. And Jesus is standing here that if we are a follower of him, we are supposed to go and replicate ourselves. We need to make other followers of all people. Doesn't matter what background they're from. It doesn't matter what skin tone they have. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter what their past was. It doesn't matter what sins they may have even struggled with. It doesn't matter what different type of economic backgrounds they come from. We're supposed to make quick followers of all people. And this is why we feel so called to love people to life change. Again, loving people to that growing relationship with Jesus. It's because Jesus told us to do this. And right now we are in Newark, Heath, and Granville, right? And there's 32,000 people that don't have a relationship with Jesus. 32,000 people that are different in so many ways, but alike in one way. The fact that they don't have a relationship with Jesus. 32,000 people who need to experience Jesus. And our vision at Life Change Church is to do what Jesus said. It's to go and make followers of all people. So our vision is to reach these people, but not just these people. See, there's towns all across Ohio. There's towns all across the United States, all across the world with people who need to follow Jesus. So this is why our goal isn't just to fill this room up, right? Isn't just to fill this building up. But our goal is to plant other churches. Our goal is to partner with other networks that plant churches. Our goal is to partner with missionaries that can plant churches all over the world that are reaching people and making them followers of Jesus. It's because it's bigger than us. If you look again at the early Christians, this is a concept that they had to grasp over and over again. In fact, they had to get over the fact that Paul, who was once opposed to them, could actually do the ministry once he had an experience with Jesus. They had to understand that the good news was for all. Look at that passage of scripture. It says in Cyprus and Cyrene, again, they were only telling the good news to the Jews. They were keeping it kind of within inside their circle. But in Antioch, they went further. They went outside that circle and they were sharing with the Greeks as well. And they went outside that circle and the numbers of the followers were growing because they went beyond themselves. And since the numbers were growing, the church actually had to send their leader. They had to send Barnabas. And they sent Barnabas out to Antioch. And it's interesting because if you look at what happens when Barnabas gets to Antioch, what's he do? He preaches the gospel. Obviously, that makes sense. He preaches the gospel. He's coming out. That's what he was sent to do. And then he goes and he encourages people. So he takes time to encourage people. He takes time to lift them up. And this is a huge part of replication, is lifting people up and encouraging them. And then what's interesting is what he does next. He goes and looks for Paul. Really what he's doing as he's looking for his replacement in Paul. He's looking for how he can replicate himself. And he does this by searching out for Paul. He doesn't just wait for Paul to come in, but rather he goes out to Paul. Because replication is all about recruiting. See, I think leaders rarely volunteer, but are often recruited. And again, last week I talked about how we have 32 serving spots at Life Change Church. 32 serving spots that we need to recruit for. And each one of us is responsible to recruit others. Each one of us is responsible to go after other leaders. We need to tap someone on the shoulder and ask them to help. But not only ask them to help, but then we need to show them how. We need to pour our skills, the skills that we have, we need to pour into somebody else. When's the last time that you tapped somebody on the shoulder to ask them to help? When's the last time you poured out some of what your skills are into someone else? And maybe you're here and you're thinking, you know what? I don't have much to offer. But the truth is this. You're responsible to share what you have. You're responsible to teach what you know. And you can only teach what you know. See, you're not responsible to fill everybody's cup. But you are responsible to empty yours. And maybe you're here today and you just feel like you're a mess. You feel like you have nothing to give. Let me encourage you. Often the fact that you are a mess is what can help you replicate yourself and others. Your struggles, the things that you have gone through, or your struggles and the things that you are going through right now, is what you can give. When I look back in my life and the people who have poured into me, honestly, many of them, they didn't have it all together. Some of them were even a complete wreck. But the fact that they cared for me is what made all the difference. We all have something to give. And the most important thing we can give is our attention. But we have to look beyond ourselves. See, Barnabas knew that the purpose of his ministry and the purpose of his life was so much bigger than just him. Barnabas knew that he was a leader, but he wasn't a leader of people who were following him. He wasn't a leader of people who were followers of Barnabas. He was a leader of followers of Jesus. It was bigger than him. And he knew it was going to last longer than him as well. So he realized that someday somebody else would be doing what he is doing. One day he would be replaced. And the same is true for us. Someday somebody else will be doing exactly what you're doing. Someday we will all be replaced. And whether you have an exit strategy or not, you will have an exit. Super uplifting, right? But think about this. It does. It applies to us spiritually. It applies to us professionally. It applies to us even in our family. See, chances are, you're never going to get promoted if you're not willing to train somebody to replace you. What about with your family too? We are responsible to pass along our values. We are responsible to change our family tree. And we all have a choice. We can leave with a plan and we can leave a legacy, but we must be willing to replicate ourselves. We must be willing to develop others. Because replication is not only about our own personal development, but it's also about the development of others. Which means it goes beyond just our security. Replication begins with a shift in our thinking. See, replication doesn't see others around us as competition, but rather partners. And Barnabas completely understood this. He didn't view Paul as competition. He wasn't afraid of him like many of the other early Christians were. But rather, he viewed him as a partner. He understood the bigger vision. See, when we prepare to replicate ourselves, it's all about the bigger vision and not just our personality. And thinking of in terms of replicating ourselves means that we're asking a question. Not just what keeps us from growing, but what's keeping others around us from growing. And it means that we're willing to hand somebody else a significant piece of what we do. Again, significant isn't the piece that's something that we don't like that we just want to dump off on somebody. But significant is that part that we believe that separates us. That part that we think gives us security in who we are and what we do. And this is what we need to be willing to hand out and to hand over to someone else. And how do we hand something significant? How do we hand this piece over? First of all, we need to be willing to break it down for somebody. Because replication begins by having that clear understanding of exactly what we are trying to pass along. And then replication also means that we're willing to let the ball drop sometimes. Now, let me explain this. See, I believe we all learn best from our mistakes. So when we're replicating ourselves, we need to allow others to learn from their mistakes as well. And replication has everything to do with letting go. Replication always requires trust and is doing life with an open hand. Last week I talked about how we need to do life, how we need to do our finances with an open hand, how we need to manage our time with an open hand. But replication is all about doing life with an open hand. So I think one of my greatest fears, and it should be all of our greatest fears, is that when we get to heaven, that we don't want God to say that he had so much more for us, but we weren't willing to let things go. We want to grasp everything that God has for us here on earth because we're doing life with an open hand and we're letting things go. And if you're doing life with an open hand, it requires time. Replication takes time. If you would go back with me to the story of Barnabas and Paul. In Acts chapter 11, verses 26. It says, "And then he found Saul, and he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, Saul and Barnabas met with the church and taught many people there." Here's Paul and Barnabas. Hey, they're meeting for a whole year with the church, and they're meeting for a whole year with each other. Barnabas was teaching Paul. He was teaching Paul through application for a whole year. He was giving Paul this clear understanding of what leadership was. And he was also giving Paul the opportunity to learn from his mistakes. And again, remember, Paul was no dummy. He was a highly educated man. Paul was a serious leader who caught on quick. But Barnabas still spent a good amount of time with him. He still spent a whole year together before Paul was released. Because replication takes time. But replication produces longevity. Think about this. Because Barnabas poured into Paul, we are having a church service here today. Because Barnabas poured into Paul, Paul was able to help spread the gospel. Paul was able to write many letters to the churches, which stand as instructions for us today. And Barnabas practiced replication through Paul. And then Paul practiced replication and did the same thing to many others, including Timothy. And the process continued on and on and on. Because replication leaves a legacy. So where are you at today? Are you at a place where you need somebody to pour into you? Or are you at a place where you need to help another? The truth is, we all need both. Replication is that a relational experience where one person empowers another by sharing God-given resources. So how do we apply this to our life? If you're taking notes today, here are five quick summary points to this. How do we apply this? Number one, replication happens when we're willing to invest our time. We have to be willing to invest our time. Are you willing to invest your time in others? Are you willing to invest your time by listening and allowing others to speak into your life? We have to be willing to invest our time. Number two, we need to recruit and be willing to be recruited. We need to tap someone on the shoulder and simply ask, are you willing to challenge others? Are you willing to accept the challenge from others? We need to be willing to recruit and be recruited. The number three is we need to accept others, even if they are different than us. We need to not view everybody else as competition, but we need to view them as partners. We need to accept others, even if they are different than us. Number four is we need to understand that life is bigger than us. Think about your life. Is it all about you? Or does it go beyond you? We need to understand that life is bigger than us. And then number five, We need to have an experience with God. We need to have an experience with Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you want to share God with others. You feel like you want to replicate yourself, but you don't have that relationship with Him. You haven't had that experience with God. Or maybe you're here today and you have that experience, you have that relationship, but you know that you no longer are walking in the right place with God. Before I finish speaking, I just want to give you the opportunity to start a relationship with Him. I want to give you the opportunity to have a relationship with Him that you can share and replicate. And we're just going to make this simple. With everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, if you're here today and God is asking you to start a relationship with Him, I just want to pray with you at your seat. And what I'm going to do is, when I count to three, I just want you to raise your hand. One, with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed. Two, God is asking you to start a relationship with Him. Three, raise your hand.